Hello and welcome to another episode of Starside Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Zach, and joining me as always is Aaron.
Hello.
And we're going to do a little discussion about five podcast game recommendations. And not a lot of news this week, but our podcast game recommendations comes as sort of a nice tie-in to discussion on Rusty's Retirement, which got a full release, I want to say, this last week. I spent some time with that. And played a couple other things. It seems like maybe you've been watching some stuff.
Yes, I watched a couple movies. I actually watched both of them yesterday as we're recording this. We can talk about that later in the show. But
it's been very stormy, so it's been good to like stay inside and watch stuff and play some games.
Inclement weather.
Yeah, I've taken a little bit of a break from Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Just over the last week, I made it to like chapter 12, and then it was like, hey, go do mini games and side quests. And I was like, okay, I'll take a break for a little while. And so I've played through Tome, a photo adventure, so we can talk about that. Have you heard of that game?
It sounds familiar to me.
We'll get into it later, but I did want to, before we like launch into everything, a little bit of a not recap, but what's the word I'm looking for? Cleanup, maybe, from our Fallout TV show discussion. There was one thing that I've listening back to that episode that I feel like we left on the table that we didn't really discuss. That it could be an interesting theory going into the next season.
Want
to get your impression. What do you think? So the lady that like survived super long, and she was like kind of the bad guy that they were chasing down this first season. What if she had somehow access to that serum that guy gave, what's his name, the Brotherhood of Steel guy?
Oh,
and maybe she's just a not yet gross, what do you call it, ghoul, because they a little bit like laid the groundwork, I feel like, with that, where the Brotherhood of Steel guy, his foot's all messed up. The traveling salesman guy gives him this serum, turns him into a ghoul, but it heals his foot. But he's not all gross. I don't know how long that transition takes. Maybe we'll find out when we get into season two.
Yeah, I was half expecting her to, like, towards the end, when they were up in her little hangout zone with her big cage, I was expecting her to like have a wig on or something and like remove the wig and be like, oh, actually, no, I'm a ghoul. But no, she seems totally fine and like put together like the Brotherhood of Steel guy. So, yeah, I wonder if that serum will come into play.
Yeah. And maybe that guy that like made the serum and gave it to him is also like, we'll find out he's been around for a really long time.
That could be crazy. Yeah. A crazy story about him would be a very interesting like a full episode. It's like that one. did you watch Westworld, right?
Yeah.
There was that great episode, I think, in like the second season where it was just from the point of view of the Native American guy, and you learned like what was going on behind the scenes sort of in a lot of the previous season. It would be very funny if there was a episode like that, but with the crazy doctor guy who seems insane.
Yeah, I feel like he kept like being around as like a recurring character, and I feel like there's more to his story, and they will keep bringing him back. And then he probably wasn't just like this sort of one-off cameo to be like, hey, here, have this serum. Like, there's probably something more going on there, but
lots they can do. I'm very interested to see what direction they go. I mean, it seems like they're going to New Vegas, but who knows what they'll do next season.
Yeah, a lot of little threads. Oh, yeah. I think there was some discussion about that where the showrunner was like, we don't want to just like throw it in there just to be like, hey, here's this thing. But they have like plans for Deathclaws in the next season.
We saw the hand of a super mutant, but we haven't seen a full super mutant yet.
Yeah, that too. I was waiting on super mutants to show up, and that never happened. The only real monster we got, I guess there were rad roaches, but you didn't see a rad scorpion. I feel like those are like due to show up as well.
For sure.
And you had like the, I think it's Yao Guai or something like that, which is the big irradiated bear.
The bear, yeah.
So that, they had that, but they didn't have a whole lot else. And there's like plenty of things that they could throw in there and be like, hey, this is straight out of the game. but anyway, we can talk about the news. The one news item we have in here is that BlizzCon is not going to happen in 2024.
Yeah, pretty unceremoniously, they just tweeted it out. They were like, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision to not hold BlizzCon 2024. I don't know how many years in a row BlizzCon has been happening, but, I mean, pretty crazy, because it was going to be like the 30th anniversary of Warcraft, and I think like maybe the 25th or 20th anniversary of another one of their properties, but... they've been having a rough year, I think, as far as like people are not super into. They, I guess, officially canceled any plans for what was going to be Overwatch 2's PvE stuff. So that's not happening anymore. And so I think people are a little down on it recently, at least Overwatch.
Yeah, and they have like expansions coming for World of Warcraft and Diablo, so you would think that they could still put on a show. There was some like speculation that was like, oh, well, they're not doing it because like what they're not saying is they don't have enough to show. But I think they probably could show stuff. They're just, I also think a little bit this is like, well, we're now under Microsoft's umbrella. Does it make sense for us to have a separate show? Like Bethesda doesn't do a separate showcase now. They're just like folded into everything that Xbox has going. Is this true? Like, you know, Blizzard not doing their own thing anymore, and they will just have announcements within the Xbox showcase?
Do you think Bethesda will show anything at because I mean, they had last year, obviously they had like a large segment for Starfield. But, I mean, they don't really have anything on the horizon now, unless they're going to maybe talk about Starfield DLC.
Yeah,
Todd Howard hinted that there was going to be Todd Howard DLC. he hinted that there was going to be, like, new things coming to Starfield, but we haven't really seen that yet.
Yeah, I think the only thing they could really talk about is, DLC for Starfield and potentially, like, some, like, hey, the Fallout TV show was a hit, and we have like season 2 has already been renewed. So there's that.
Cause please welcome the ghoul to the stage.
Yeah. They could do that. Bring out some of the actors and be like, hey, let's talk about the TV show and how successful it was. I hate when they do that. It'd be a waste of a segment for sure, but they could definitely do that.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I don't, because for sure Elder Scrolls 6 is way too far out.
Who knows what kind of state that's in.
And I think they regret having announced it as early as they did. So They're definitely not going to be like, well, we thought of a name. Here's the location. They probably won't do that. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't know that we'll see pretty much anything. I mean, aside from DLC, maybe for Starfield. I don't know that they're going to have a big show. Bethesda, I don't think, is going to have a big showing at the Microsoft press conference.
Well, so when does that Indiana Jones game come out?
Oh, I forgot about that. Maybe we'll get some more of that. Yeah, I think that is maybe this year.
That might be their only thing, is they've got the Indiana Jones game, and then they'll be like, here's some what we have cooking in Starfield coming up, and that'll be it for them. Unless they've got like some sort of remaster / remake of one of the previous Fallout games.
Or wasn't there talk of there being a remaster of the Oblivion? Or
Yeah. I remember that was part of that Xbox leak, that they had Oblivion remastered coming. I don't know if that's actually happening or not, but that could be part of a showcase this summer. So I don't know. Interesting to think about.
We're not super far away. I mean, as we're recording this, it's the end of April, but I mean, at the beginning of June, that's when this is all going to pop off. So we don't have much time to wait before we get to the best time of year.
Just a little over a month, and they are probably finalizing their plans right now for the stuff they're going to be showing. So With that out of the way, do you want to talk about some stuff that's out this week?
Yes.
Did you see any of the Sandland game? This is sort of the one that I don't really know much about.
Yeah, it's a Toriyama game, so it looks very like there are like capsule vehicles and stuff. He has a very distinct vehicle design where you can really tell, like, oh, this is from the mind of Toriyama. RIP to Toriyama. But it looks interesting. I'm not really into like vehicle games, but it is like open world and sort of, I think it's not as linear, I don't think. I think there are different quests you can do, but I probably will not be picking this up just because I'm not really into like vehicle game, like tank games. And this is definitely, I think, a tank style game, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, I think people are into it, but like you, I'm not super into like the whole let's like build up a vehicle and make that our main thing.
Yeah, that's why I don't really like mech games.
Yeah. And then the other thing that is out now is another Crab's Treasure. This is the one that people jokingly refer to as Crab Souls or a Shoals-like, is another one I've heard. But this is supposed to be sort of like a good sort of my first Souls-like style game where it's like not as difficult. It's not necessarily for kids, but like...
Well, just like the presentation of it. Like you're not going to get... what was Margit the Fell Omen or whatever, ripping his arm off and stuff like that?
Yeah, you don't have anything like that, certainly presentationally. But it's kind of like, you know, every Metroidvania that comes out, like Metroidvania fans are going to play it, even if it's like, you know, whatever style. But like all the Souls-like people are probably playing this right now. But I've heard that the bosses can be pretty tough, but overall it's a little bit more simple than some of the other Souls-likes that you might have played. But there is like difficulty settings, so you can like make it easier as well. So I feel like this would be a good one if you've ever been like, what's up with that Souls-like genre, and you've just like not been able to do it. Maybe give this one a shot. And then... Rusty's Retirement got its full release, and so I've been playing some of that. I basically had it running all day yesterday, because this is that game that will just play on the bottom part of your computer screen. You just like start it up, and Rusty just like moves around and does some like as sort of an idle farming simulator type of thing.
Can you decide how much of the bottom screen it picks up? Or it takes up?
You can adjust it. I don't know how much of that you can do. But you can adjust it. You can sort of make it go a little bit lower or a little bit higher up on the screen, so it's not like blocking your taskbar. And you can zoom in and you can zoom out as well. I think you can even like move it to the side of the screen maybe.
Oh, really?
But yeah, and you can like you right click and you can drag left and right on it as well. So you have like a lot more space to like put down buildings or like little patches where you would farm as well. And there are like you can get animals as well. I played the demo that was released back in like February, and I was like, yeah, this is fun. There's kind of like there wasn't a lot to the demo. And so I like very quickly had like, you know, done as much of the farming as I thought I needed to do. And I had like built the house for that guy that you can send to like upgrade your different drones, because you basically have Rusty going around watering plants and harvesting them and then taking them to the little bioconverters. So there are little circular bioconverters where you put three different crops on and it will basically turn that into currency for you that you can use to buy other stuff. And you eventually can start like building little pods where your drones will like recharge themselves, and you can have one that will go around and water the crops and one that will harvest them and then one that will like sort of ferry them from the storage to the bioconverters. And so it basically becomes pretty automated, and the only thing you really are doing at a certain point is like determining, okay, I want to spend the currency to have Rusty go build me this other house that will bring in this other character, or I want to look at what crops I have available and say, okay, I need this many to unlock the next crop that I can then start start planting. And so you're determining which crops go into your little farm there. So it is like pretty relaxing. There's also some like really chill music playing in the background. You can like turn that off as well if you, because the idea is basically you're going to be on your computer doing other stuff, and this is just kind of happening in the bottom part of your screen, so it doesn't like block you from working on whatever else you're working on. So you can like be watching YouTube, you can be browsing the web, maybe you're even working, you know, and you just sort of have this thing happening sort of idly in the background the whole time. And so, yeah, as that goes, it's pretty fun to have. I kind of want it on my work computer, but I probably won't do that because it would probably be bad.
Yeah.
For my productivity, but you know. But I definitely recommend checking it out. I think the introductory price on Steam is like $6.99.
Not bad at all.
Yeah, so not bad at all. And definitely if you're going to be on your computer, I think it maybe is also deck compatible. I'm not sure how that works.
Oh, that's crazy.
I would have to check it. I'm not sure how that works, but I think you can like use the zoom in function and then you can still play it on Steam Deck, which is interesting. But I also saw that the developer is maybe working on like a Mac version as well, which would be nice for me because I do have my laptop is a MacBook. So it would be nice to like sit on the couch and just be like doing stuff on my computer, but also have that running, which I think I would prefer to having it on Steam Deck, actually.
Yeah.
But I would like a soundtrack release for this because it's so like pleasant to have in the background.
And it's just the one dev, right?
I think so, yeah. It's
Haiku the Robot, I think, was made by just one guy.
Yeah, it's that developer. So I was looking up something in like the community threads on the Steam page, and he responded and was like, yeah, that's something I would look into as far as making a Mac version. So yeah, I definitely recommend it if you have any interest in that sort of thing, or if you're even curious about like what is it like. There's a demo, so check it out. With that said, do we want to launch into our podcast games?
Let's get into it. So, Zach, define for me what a podcast game is.
Well, so to me, a good podcast game is something that you can sort of keep busy with, like sort of keep your hands and eyes busy with while you're listening to something else. So it doesn't, you're not going to necessarily be playing something that's like story heavy. And so you're kind of going to want something that you can just like click around on while you're sort of half focused on something else. So I would say something like, for instance, that I've been playing recently, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth would not be a good choice for this. Like the open zone areas, if you're just running around doing stuff like that, maybe you can make a case for. Because you could get some stuff done while listening to something else. But there's so much story happening there that you would have to pause the podcast frequently. And yeah. So I feel like that situation would not be good. How would you describe a podcast game?
Yeah, I think something where like your main focus maybe, at least for me, my main focus would be the podcast. So it's something where you can have your mind on the podcast. And yeah, like you said, you're keeping your other half like active, like your hands and eyes are focused on something else. But yeah, definitely not something where you're invested in the story. In fact, I would say actively something that doesn't have a story is probably the best. So like, I think roguelikes are probably a great example of podcast games. Cause like, again, you're not really, you're somewhat progressing. I mean, I guess Hades would be a bad example of that.
Yeah. I was going to say something that's too action heavy that will like, pull your focus such that you're not really paying attention to what is being said in the podcast anymore. Yeah. Is maybe a bad choice. So you want something that's, I almost like something that's like maybe turn-based even over that if you're going to have combat, because then like the action stops down whenever you're not doing something. So you can like still be focused on what the the podcast is about, but then just like click around and make your choice, basically. So,
well, let's get into it. What's your, so we each came up with five. So what's your number five, Zach?
Now, I thought about just putting a blanket like Ubisoft style open world game, but then I was like, eh, maybe I shouldn't do that. So I in honor of our main like game that we were talking about this week, I did put Rusty's Retirement in at number five, because
that's a really solid one.
Yeah. Maybe the best example of a podcast game that has come out this year so far. Mm. What's your number five?
A classic that we both got into for a little while, and I think I did almost exclusively play it while I was listening to a podcast, Dome Keeper.
Ooh, that's a very good choice. Yeah, I forgot about that.
A great little indie that I think they maybe have added more stuff to, but I haven't really returned to. But I mean, especially when they added, when you unlock the ability to have like extra large maps, but also like reduced danger where like the enemies don't come as often, there's a lot more chilling out time where you're just sort of mining and you don't have to like rush back up to the main area to do your defense, which that can get a little like stressful sometimes. But Dome Keeper is great. I hope that they continue to expand it. I don't know, I haven't checked in on it in a while. I know there's two types of domes, but maybe there's more now. But
yeah, I should jump back into that now that you mention it, because it is like it's a great podcast game, but it's also just like really fun.
It is, yeah.
And yeah, I'm sure there's new stuff in the game that we have not experienced since we last played it. So
here's something else I would add to a podcast game. It's something where you don't necessarily need the sound, but Dome Keeper was one where I kept the sound on because I liked all the little sound effects that like from like mining and doing other things.
But yeah,
a good podcast game, I think, has music that you can turn off, but sound effects that are pleasant to listen to in the background of your podcast, I think.
Yeah. Or if it's just like chill enough that it's not going to distract from the podcast. But yeah.
What is your number four?
Now, number four, I was going to do another like blanket thing, kind of like the Ubisoft thing that I decided not to do, but I picked one instead of throwing the blanket out there. And I picked Rogue Lords as sort of a Slay the Spire like style game where it's just like, you know, you're turn based, picking different attacks and just like moving forward and progressing through a sort of roguelike style thing. Kind of like you said, a roguelike is a good option, but some roguelikes, sort of like we were talking about with Hades, can get too sort of fast action-y such that it would pull your attention away. Whereas something that's turn-based, like Rogue Lords or like a Slay the Spire-like, is good because you can, if you don't do anything, nothing's going to happen, right? So like you can stop basically at any time to like focus on what's being said in the podcast and then like return your attention to the game and just like pick an attack or a card or something like that. So I think Rogue Lords is a good option if you're looking for something to play while listening to a podcast. What's your number four?
I think you're right that roguelikes are, or roguelites maybe, are a great podcast game because you get into like a loop and you don't really have to think about it. Similarly, with my number four, you get into a loop. It's Loop Hero.
Ooh, this might be on my list somewhere as well.
Oh, a game that I really, really liked. It's so easy to just like let it run basically, and then you're, you know, you have to manage your equipment as you go through and you're keeping track of a couple levels, but it is a great little game to just like, you can even, I would say even multitask with this, where you could have like another window open. You could be listening to a podcast, playing Loop Hero, and maybe also browsing the web. Because like there's settings you can, where it just like will play for you until you press pause, basically.
Yeah, and you can have it set up so that every time you return to the, like the camp, it stops so that you're not like trying to go around the loop too many times before you've had a chance to like adjust your equipment. So it is a very good option.
I need to get back into it. I've played so much of it, but I've never beaten the third boss. And I feel like I I hit a wall. I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I need to like look up a guide because I think I'm doing something wrong because I will just like grind and grind and grind and not really make progress. And I'm not having a bad time, but I also am not progressing the story.
Yeah. So we talked about this, I feel like a year or two ago now, where I had gotten back into it in a really big way and I was playing a ton of it. And I finally like sort of broke through that wall and then hit a different wall. So maybe I need to get back into it as well. But I really like that they made it so that you can like pick up your save on Switch if you started on Steam.
Oh.
And like vice versa, you can sort of transfer your save back and forth. I think I don't, maybe it's like a one-time thing, but for sure if you started on Steam and you're like, I would like to have this in the handheld form factor and you don't have a Steam Deck, you can just be like, I'm gonna pick this up on Switch. So that's a nice option. But yeah, really really strong podcast game, I have to say.
What's your number three?
Not to do another farming sim, but I did put Animal Crossing on here for my number three. Is super chill, not super distracting to your podcast. You just kind of run around and you have like a handful of things you got to do every day in the game. And I really like that it like is tied into the actual time of day for like real life. And yeah, you just make a little progress and you decorate things and build up your little island. And I'm specifically talking about what's the one on Switch? New Horizons, is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
I picked that up and played a bunch of it like maybe a couple of years ago now, and was surprised how much it grabbed me and how much I was enjoying just like going around doing little stuff like that. And it ended up being like a really great podcast game. Was just like, I would made it through so many podcasts listening to or listening to them while playing Animal Crossing. So maybe like farming sims is maybe one of the best genres for a podcast game, you could argue for sure. And Animal Crossing is probably one of the better farming sims out there. So actually, is it a farming sim?
They added farming to it. You can plant crops in it, I think.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it and I realized I feel like when I played, I didn't actually do a lot of farming.
They added a lot of other stuff. They definitely added that.
But yeah, you're like collecting different items that you use to sell and make money. So I guess you would probably classify it as that. But yeah, I just thought of it. I was like, is it actually a farming sim? But anyway, what is your number three?
Well, so yeah, like we said, I think podcast games are games you don't really have to think about, and this is one on my list that you do sort of have to think about. Probably the most one on my list where you have to actively engage with it because you have to sort of have a strategy. But my number three is Satisfactory. Ooh. Which I think is a very different game from the last time I played it. The last time I got really into it was probably 2 years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and they've continued to have product updates. I think they just had their 1.0 pretty recently, because I follow, I think, Coffee Stain, that's the studio, I think is Coffee Stain, but they had a video about like, we're reaching our 1.0 launch. So like, they've added like, there weren't trains, I don't think, in the last time I played. They've added just like a crazy amount of content to this game. But it's a really great game because there's not really any dialogue. You're alone on a planet with basically aliens that you have to attack sometimes. Or you can turn it on to peaceful mode. But you just sort of make your factory. You do have to sort of plan out and think like three-dimensionally a little bit because you have to figure out how your different assembly lines are going to feed into your space elevator and whatnot. But if you can get distracted by that and not stop listening to your podcast, I think it's great. Because I definitely listened to a couple podcasts while I was playing Satisfactory. Although I will say the majority of the time I played it, I was playing with friends. I've always wanted to jump back into it now that there's way more content and do a solo world and just kind of like veg out and listen to a podcast. But I racked up a ton of hours in this, and I think it would be a great podcast game.
Yeah, I can see why it would be pretty satisfying to listen to a podcast and just kind of plan out your all of your stuff in that game.
You do. You have to a little bit be focused on what you're like, much more so than anything else on my list. You have to be actively engaged and like thinking critically. So it's maybe I put it high up just because I really like it and I want to force myself to get back into it. But maybe it should have been lower on the list. But that's my number three. What's your number two?
Now, this one verges on being too action heavy to not pull your attention away from your podcast. But I did go with Vampire Survivors as my number two.
Oh, yes.
Really satisfying, just like RPG type of thing where you're running around. You really don't have to attack at all. You're just moving a character around and avoiding enemies. So I think for the most part, it qualifies pretty well for our criteria because you can just sort of sit back and like move the thumbstick around to avoid enemies. And, you're just like picking upgrades as you collect all of the stuff that the enemies that you kill drop and leveling up. And it is just that like perfect sort of, they call it lizard brain thing where you're just like constantly getting, you know, positive reinforcement with like picking up items and getting the upgrades and leveling up and all of this stuff. And it is just a super satisfying game. And I played a bunch of it here this last year. I got my both my brother and my sister into it over like the holidays because we were hanging out and I was showing them this game. And it like is crazy how quickly this game that doesn't look like much visually just like immediately hooks anybody that plays it. Even people who don't play a ton of games, it just like immediately hooks them because it's like so satisfying to get all of the upgrades and level ups and all of that. And so if you can just like satisfy that part of your brain, but also be able to listen to a podcast at the same time, I feel like it's very satisfying to just like start a run and just like move around. And ideally it's going to take what, like a half an hour to get through.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can knock out a podcast, you know, do one or two runs and you're, get through an entire podcast. So good to go. What's your number two?
This is true for me. And this is actually, I would recommend this whole series. Well, all the 2D versions of it. But in college, when I first got into listening to podcasts, I would throw a podcast on and play this game just over and over and over again. And it was Sonic and Knuckles for Genesis.
Mm.
I had a little emulator on my computer that had Sonic and Knuckles on it, and I would just like lay down with like my laptop on my chest and put on a podcast and just play through this. And it would take me like maybe 45 minutes to get through. It was almost timing up pretty well with like a podcast episode. I think any 2D Sonic game, even though they have great music that you probably will want to listen to, there's no dialogue, so you can just mute it and just kind of run and get into like a flow state of just like getting through levels and then like defeating the boss and getting to the next level and so on. Sonic and Knuckles specifically was like, I think maybe the last 2D one on Genesis, so it has like the most fidelity. And it's got beautiful zones and interesting bosses and cool like mechanisms. I would always play as Knuckles the Echidna, obviously. And yeah, I have a lot of nostalgic feelings for just like zoning out with Sonic and Knuckles, which is now available, I think, on Switch. And also Sonic Mania is, which is another great addition of the 2D Sonics. But also, I think Sonic and Knuckles you can get on Steam as like a pack with all the like classic Sega games. But yeah, I would say it's great. And you, another thing about it is you can continue to refine your play as you're listening to this podcast. Where you can start to get faster and faster, sort of a speed run type of thing, where I would try to race myself and see how quickly I could beat Sonic and Knuckles while I was playing or listening to a podcast. And I got down to like, you know, something in the 40s or something, which probably is not fast at all. Probably there are people that play Sonic and Knuckles and beat it in like 15 minutes or something. But Yeah, that's my number two. What's your number two, Zach?
My number one.
Oh, my number. Yeah, your number one. Yeah.
My number one, we already talked about, it's Loop Hero. A game I probably should get back into, but a couple of years ago, I got back into it, and I feel like we did several episodes talking about it.
Yeah, we were really into it for a while.
Yeah, and that was like maybe a year or two after it had initially released. Like, I feel like I jumped in and played a bunch of it and then kind of fell off of it because I hit a wall like you. And then like a year or two later, I was like, you know what? I should get back into that. And I like made some more progress. And it's just like a really great loop-based game where you just click around on stuff and you kind of watch it happen and you don't necessarily have to be engaging with it at all times. So that sort of really fits the bill for like a good podcast game. What is your number one?
My number one is Minecraft.
Ah, I knew it.
A game that I love and I frequently go back to. I think I talked a couple weeks ago about how there's been a recent development with Minecraft where there's a new mod called, I think, Distant Horizons that allows you to have like almost infinite or much larger, I should say, view distance. So it makes the game feel like much larger. I have been thinking about getting back into it, but I just have been doing other things. But I will always, almost always, throw on a podcast when I listen to or watch Minecraft, or play Minecraft, rather. Just because a lot of that game is chilling out, especially if you're playing on Peaceful, where you're just like collecting stuff, building out your base, and not really progressing anything. You're just sort of building and creating a little zone for yourself. Highly recommend. I mean, obviously, the music in Minecraft is great. But this is another one where I have a lot of nostalgic feelings for the sound effects. So this is one where I would turn the music off probably, but keep the sound effects on of like the, you know, placing blocks and collecting blocks of things. That's very satisfying sounds, like when they all like suck up into you, especially if you've been like mining a bunch of stuff and then you drop into where you're mining and all the blocks like zoom into your person. You make that little pop sound. But yeah, Minecraft, a wonderful game to play with friends, but also with a podcast as your friend.
Yeah, little surprising that Stardew Valley didn't make either of our lists, but another
yeah,
solid.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the ticking clock element of that. I feel like it's too stressful where you have to like manage your days.
I feel like maybe that's why I haven't jumped back into Stardew Valley in a long time, but just as like a farming sim that is pretty good for like a podcast style game.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of people would sort of go to that one, but also a good option is like open world sort of collectathon style games. Like a few years ago, back when Ghostwire Tokyo came out, I listened to podcasts and like watch, like would put on a TV show and just like sort of half pay attention to the show and half pay attention to the game. And it was like great because I could just go around doing all of the sort of open world collectathon stuff and not like focus the story at all. So it is a little bit that like Ubisoft style thing where if you're just roaming the open world doing stuff, like I guess you could make a case like Destiny would be like another solid one where you could just like go to the open zones and knock out some stuff and still be listening to a podcast. But or like an MMO, some kind of MMO where you have to like go around and do a lot of stuff that you don't have to focus on super hard. But anyway, that's our five podcast game recommendations for you. Let's talk about what we've been playing, watching.
Zach, I watched two movies yesterday. I watched Dune 2 first.
Had you seen it already or was this the first time?
This is the first time.
Oh, did you like it?
I liked it a lot. A lot more happened than in Dune 1, I will say. Yeah. I feel like I've not really watched Dune 1 more than once. I just watched it the one time and I haven't revisited it. But that I feel like was more, like it was a lot of table setting and a lot of just like, it was basically just vibes, as the kids say, where there's a lot of just like contemplative scenes where you're just like watching someone either come to a realization or have like a tense conversation. Whereas this one, just like kept moving. Like every scene there was like, I was never bored, even though it was like, you know, a very long movie. But yeah, I loved it. I think I liked it more than the first one. I maybe have to rewatch the first one, but I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I think I have revisited the first Dune more recently. And I like that movie a lot too, but yeah, like you said, that one's a little bit more like slower paced and like table setting and stuff like that. And this is where like a lot of the action happens.
The action.
But yeah, it's very, very good movie. I liked it a lot. I'm very excited speaking, for the next one too.
Yeah. Speaking of action, I also watched Monkey Man.
Yeah. Tell me about this.
I was into it. Very action packed. It just immediately hits you with how stylish it is. There's a great sequence early on, like very early on in the movie, like within the first 10 minutes where, someone's purse gets stolen and then it has to like make its way back to Dev Patel. And that sequence alone with like the music choices and all of this are also really great. It's always got really good like music that really hits. There's not really a score. There's just like really good music drops. Action is really great. Really like it feels really raw and real. They do like a really good job. The choreography is like really on point. Story's really solid. There's not really anything bad I can say about it, actually. I really, really enjoyed it.
Is this the one that's sort of like almost John Wick style?
Not only is it sort of John Wick style, in the first part of the, I almost keep saying game all the time. in the first part of the movie, he goes to buy a gun and the guy's like, do you like watching John Wick? I just got the gun from John Wick in. And he's like, no, I don't want that. But yeah, I mean, it's aware of what it is. It is definitely it's a John Wick style movie where, you know, there's like a revenge plot or whatever. But an interesting thing about it is like, whereas John Wick is like a professional who's constantly, you know, really aggressively winning at stuff. Where like, he's like, you know, actively like trained for all of this. The main character in this one who just goes by Bobby is like, you know, trained and pretty good at doing stuff, but definitely does make way more mistakes than John Wick does. He still like gets the job done, but there are definitely a lot of seconds where he has to super improvise, which is shot. They're shot really well, and it's very interesting to see like the improv he has to do when things go wrong. But it's a lot dirtier of a film than John Wick. John Wick is all about like, you know, wearing a suit and, you know, very cleanly executing things, where as this is like, he really gets into the, like he's busting through walls and like jumping through a bunch of crazy stuff. I highly recommend this movie. It was very fun.
How did you watch it?
It's on digital now. You can rent it.
Ah, man. You know what I really want to be on digital is that Godzilla Minus One.
Yes. That was I saw that in theaters.
I keep waiting for that to show up and it just has not shown up yet.
I think it's going to happen soon. I think it maybe is going to be on Prime.
Hopefully soon.
Because they have Shin Godzilla on Prime.
Oh, is that available on Prime?
I think it is, yeah.
I should watch that and then like be ready to go double feature for the next one. Well, so the only other thing, I guess maybe I can talk about Shogun very briefly, that has finally wrapped up. And I was telling you before we started recording that I'm not sure whether they have a second season planned for this or not. It definitely.
But you said it did end on a cliffhanger, right?
It definitely set it up where it's like, okay, they definitely have where they're going to go for the next season. But I haven't seen. Maybe they have announced this, and I just haven't seen it. Whether or not it has been renewed for a second season, but I feel like it's. Maybe I just because I see it everywhere, it seems like it has done well, or at least I hope it has, because I would love a second season. But
that's my that's what I've been seeing. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have like a ton of material. There's like 7 books and they're all super long. So like they got to renew this thing for sure. But I highly recommend it. I know you have not started it yet, but you should because it's very good.
I probably will. Now that it's fully out, I think I'll probably binge it.
That's a good choice. Yeah. And then the other thing I have taken a break from Final Fantasy VII with is a game called Tome, T-O-E-M, a photo adventure. And this is...
I haven't heard of this, actually.
You should look it up because it's very good. It sort of made me think quite a bit of like a short hike. It's all black and white and animation and graphics, but it's sort of like in that sort of 3 to 6 hour window of a game where like the premise is you're going on an adventure to like the top of a mountain. So kind of similar in that regard, but like very different in terms of like mechanics of the game. Cause obviously in this, you're moving around, taking pictures of things as opposed to like, you know, flying around or whatever, but, kind of similar idea, but, instead of like sort of an open worldy type of area, like you had in a short hike in this game, it's more, you're moving through these like little dioramas basically.
And it's kind of Paper Mario-esque.
You're sort of talking to people. Yeah, I guess you could say that there is like sort of
a flatness.
Yeah, a flatness to the characters and people you're seeing. So, but yeah, you're going around. It's almost sort of point and click adventure style where you're talking to people and they'll give you like a little request of some sort and you'll have to figure out how to sort of solve that for them. And sometimes that's as easy as like, go take a picture of this thing and then come back and show it to them. And sometimes it's a little bit more involved than that. But there is also a free DLC that's out for this that I played through as well. It's it just kind of adds another zone for you to go through and some more quests to do. But there was like a really sort of heartwarming thank you note at the end of this game once I completed the full game and the DLC. The development team was like, thank you for playing our game. It was very nice. But yeah, it just got a physical release.
Oh,
I think maybe from I Am 8-Bit, like within the last like week or two. And I ordered the vinyl soundtrack for this because it's like very good, very chill music that's just like super pleasant to have on in the background. Also, a very good game to play if you're looking for something that you can platinum fairly easily. But this has been like kind of a nice break from Final Fantasy just to have something that's like super chill and way more simple. And... but having said that, now I'm ready to get back into Final Fantasy. So
you see, I didn't put this in the show notes, but speaking of music, I did pick up Hades again very briefly this week.
Oh, yeah? Did you complete another run?
I did, and I got a little bit more story. I guess I maybe only completed it 5 times, and I think you have to complete it 10 times to get the full story.
Jeez.
But the thing that struck me the most about it was the music I had forgotten. I really, really loved the music in that game. It made me very nostalgic. But yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do full 10. I might just look up the cutscenes for a full 10. I did watch a ton of people play the technical test for Hades 2, and that was what got me to pick it back up again. But yeah, Hades 1, or I guess just Hades, is great, and I love to play it. It's that God mode thing they added where every time it gets a little bit easier if you check that box.
I was going to say, maybe you're just a lot better at that game than I am, but I struggled with it.
If you should check that, because I struggled as well, but you have to if you check that God mode box, every time you die, it gets a little bit easier. Your health gets a little bit, you get a little more resilient and the bosses get a little easier. And then like if it maxes out, I think it becomes very easy. But my bar was like halfway up or whatever. It'll tell you like what percent it is. But yeah, Hades is a great game and has really, really good music. That's one where I would check out the soundtrack to it if I had like a record player.
I think that's another one that like maybe I Am 8-Bit or one of those just recently got a vinyl soundtrack for.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Soundtrack on vinyl is what I'm trying to say. But yeah, that one would be a cool one to get for sure.
Oh, one other piece of news I wanted to talk about. There's going to be an ID at Xbox showcase next week that we'll talk about. I think they're showing it on maybe tomorrow, actually, on the 29th, which is another chance for Silksong to be revealed, although I don't think it's going to be. I think it will be revealed.
During
I'm now
a
pretty confident
showcase.
It will be revealed at, yeah, Summer Games Fest or the Microsoft press conference.
Will it be a hot drop or will it be coming this fall?
I don't know. I feel like they, I've said this a million times on the podcast, but I feel like they have to know that people are super into it. And I feel like they could make a ton of money making copies of it, but maybe they will just leave that for the IM 8-bits of the world. I don't know if it'll be a hot drop. If it is, that's would be insane. But I guess I'm not sure.
Yeah,
we'll find out in less than 2 months. We'll know
soon enough. On that note, do you have any parting wisdom?
You know, Zach, I love Mexican food. I grew up in Texas, so I have more of a desire for Tex-Mex, which is apparently different in some ways, but I'm not sure exactly sure what. But I will frequently try to make it at home. And a thing that I have done recently that has really plussed up my at-home recipes is instead of buying just regular tortillas, I will go to the like cool section of the grocery store and purchase those like tortillas that are in like the refrigerated section that you then just like slap down on a pan for like a minute per side. And man, that it really does make a difference. I gotta say it really can elevate just like a kind of a boring bean and cheese burrito that you make yourself. It's just like it makes a big difference, and it's pretty similar in price. Maybe it's a little more expensive, but and it is a little more time intensive, but if you like to make at home like burritos of any kind, even like breakfast burritos, try these. Just go to the refrigerated section and find the refrigerated tortillas that you have to cook yourself a little bit. Mm. And I think you'll be very happy.
Yeah. And I have to say, even if you get like, I don't know, like a microwavable burrito, if you throw that thing in the oven or like an air fryer, it's going to be
an air fryer for sure.
Significantly better than if you just like microwaved it for like 2 minutes or whatever.
Avoid the microwave. That's what I say.
Yeah, I don't even have a microwave. I just use my air fryer for everything.
There you go.
Or cook it on the stove. But on that note, go ahead and follow us on Starside Cafe on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.